The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. O Jesus, shepherd, guardian, friend, O prophet, priest, and king. Please be seated. Just a little bit of a shuffle this morning, but you'll see why in a few moments. We have first an announcement and an invitation to you for the entire congregation from our senior warden, Elizabeth.
Good morning, parish family. I want to share some exciting updates with you and ask for your participation. As you know, Bishop Bonnet suspended the current search process at Trinity, citing the need for a congregation to be healthy and whole to move forward. And today, we now have the steps to do that. We will undertake work both within the vestry and with the whole parish family. This will put us on a path to rebuild trust, discern who we are, and move forward with a fresh start as faithful members of the body of Christ. I'm pleased to share that we will undertake this process with the guidance of Reverend Jenny Replogle of the Diocese of Chicago. She was recommended to us by the Bishop and Canon Meg through mutual colleagues. Reverend Jenny is well qualified. She serves in her diocese as a trainer for the College of Congregational Development and is co-rector of St. Paul's in Peoria. But more importantly, she has firsthand experience in leading a community through an intentional process of starting anew following a period of uncertainty and transition. Our vestry was able to meet with her virtually, as she joined our last meeting to get introduced and share details of her experiences and approach and to answer our questions. We will be holding 4 sessions for the whole parish, most of them on Wednesday evenings, and we'll be starting this on May 29th. The sessions will be in the early evening. They will be led by Reverend Jenny and will follow a structure provided by her. We will have a light supper as well as childcare provided. We will publish all the details and the dates shortly, and we'll do this many times. Friends, this news is filled with the spirit of hope, especially in this Easter season. These sessions are meant for all of us to join together with love and joy and start afresh as resurrection people. The sessions are meant to build upon each other, and the outcome of this work will also be valuable and relevant when the search committee is reformed. So please continue in prayer, continue to be present, and continue to trust that this next step is one grounded in God's continued love for each of us and for our faithful community. I'm grateful to you all for hearing this news with the ears of your heart and the love of Christ dwelling among us as he invites us all into the sheepfold. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. The Good Shepherd says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." What is it to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Does God whisper something in our ear? If I don't hear that whisper, am I doing something wrong? How do I test if what I hear is really from God? These are common questions priests hear all the time. But one thing I do know is that the voice of the shepherd, once heard, becomes familiar, becomes important, becomes comforting. The first 3 years of my education, my family was the only native English-speaking family in the entire school. All of my classes for 3 years were taught in Spanish. One teacher in particular, Sister Leonia, a very Spanish-sounding name, she was different when she spoke, when she taught class. Her Spanish stood out to me. Where most of the nuns and most of the families there in the parish were first and second generation Mexicans, Sister Leonia was Cuban. Where I had trouble understanding the rapid-fire language from the Mexican families and nuns, I had much more success understanding Sister Leonia. Jumped to high school. In high school, we had to take a language. I was doing about 5 classes a day in music. I was the accompanist for the choir, for this band, for the orchestra, yada, yada, yada. But I had to take and fit in a language at that time, too. Because I was a musician, my guidance counselor, of course, suggested German. German. After 1 semester of German and failing grades, I had to change. Figuring I had an edge with Spanish, I jumped onto El Barco and met Mrs. Calderon. Now, most Calderon families come from Spain. I knew that Spanish, the language from Spain, especially if it was Castellano, Castilian, is a tough language to master and to comprehend. It would be like a Midwesterner trying to sound like a native Londoner if you've heard somebody fake Castilian Spanish. However, I learned quickly that Mrs. Calderon was from Cuba. I was thrilled. And she was just as excited to have in her classroom a blonde, blue-eyed boy who was fairly fluent in Spanish. To this day, I recognize the difference in that language, and it gives me comfort. When I hear a Cuban accent, I know I can find my way around a conversation. When I hear words like el chivo or hacere, I know I'm in a conversation about a friend and a bicycle, not onions and monkeys. hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd is like me hearing a Cuban accent. It's not the words used. It's the comfort that comes when we surrender the struggle and can begin to hear with clarity. It's not so much a whisper in your ear as it is a stirring in the soul, felt in the silent moments of meditation, of contemplation. The voice of the Good Shepherd doesn't hit us over the head with truth. It is subtle and slow. And as for testing the veracity of God's voice, we first turn it over to God and listen in a prayerful, quiet place, sometimes for days. We listen. We put effort into listening. It may prompt anxiety for some of us, but there is a peace attached to the voice of the Good Shepherd. The voice of the Good Shepherd never speaks of self-serving interests and will keep us always in communion with the message of Jesus. The voice of the Good Shepherd calls us into the sheepfold. Not only is Jesus the Good Shepherd, he's the gate that opens up the pasture to us. And in that pasture, we hear the voice of the Master, because that voice speaks always the same. The voice of the Good Shepherd speaks of peace. It opens our horizons. The voice of Jesus brings people together, does not divide. The voice of the Good Shepherd creates hope and a vision about the future. The tough part is the shepherd's voice changes us at our core. The voice of the Good Shepherd is familiar to us because we learn to forgive, not tolerate. We learn to suppose good intentions in each other, not assume the worst. We learn to be curious, not contemptuous. We learn to be accepting, not judgmental. So, where might the voice of the Good Shepherd be calling you to now? I think you heard it in the good news that Elizabeth delivered to us this morning. Hear the shepherd calling us into the sheepfold, to walk together, to be at peace, and to take a few risks. We heard a voice that helps us find a fresh start. It is the voice of the Good Shepherd asking us to come, follow me.